With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, City F fan. Pioli's on fire, and doesn't he just know it? The Rossoneri win their first Scudetto in 11 years as Zlatan goes full WWE. Roma prepare for European final, and Salernitana complete the Great Escape. We'll discuss all of that and round up the rest of the season in this episode of Scudetto. Hello and welcome to the show. The season is over. Milan have their 19th Scudetto, Fiorentina return to European football, Salernitana have avoided the drop, and Cagliari will join Genoa and Venezia in Serie B next season. So much to discuss, but before we get into any of that, Boaz, good to speak to you on a totally non-related football front, because I suspect we might touch on the football. How are you doing and what have you been up to?
I'm doing great. I've actually been struggling to understand that Milan have won the league and waking up in the morning and rubbing my eyes and thinking, is it all a dream? So it's been a great week, but I have to say that the previous couple of weeks were very stressful. So
yeah,
great to get it over the line.
Yeah, yeah. I did say on a non-football front, but I'll allow you it because I know how much torture you were going through.
But also, I'm not going to bore our listeners with mindless chat about my day job and stuff like that. So life is fine, but nothing too interesting to share in this forum.
Fair enough. And do you have a beer for us on this forum?
I've got something I've never tried before. It's a O'Hara's India Pale Ale, and it says citrus, peach, and pine. So it's right down our alley.
Yeah, it is. Yours is much more interesting than mine. I've gone for a boring Peroni Nastrazzurro.
It's quite fitting for this pod.
Exactly. That's what I was. I just thought it'd be nice to finish off the season with an Italian classic.
This is quite special. You can actually taste the citrus, peach, and pine.
There you go. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you like those things. Right. Let's get onto the football, Buzz, because you've obviously been dying to speak about it. Milan, Scudetto winners. It happened.
Yeah. It's, as I said, I'm struggling to digest the fact that it's actually happened. But overall, I would say with, obviously with Rossoneri tinted glasses, but I would say that it was deserved and that Milan played some fantastic football throughout the season and maybe were wronged by some decisions along the way, which another team might have capitulated. But as I said earlier, they got it over the line. And I think one of the memorable things about this victory is that the players are genuinely quite likable. And
absolutely.
There's a lot of people in that team that came in with big prospects, but we didn't quite know if they'd make it. And they've all proven to be potential superstars. And there's other players, Kalulu comes to mind, who have exceeded the expectations by miles and have become integral to the side.
Yeah, and I mean, just the sheer spirit in that side that Pioli's developed has really been quite something. You mentioned kind of the blows along the way, some of which from questionable decisions, goals that were chalked off for free kicks to be awarded to Milan, for example, come to mind.
But also, I mean, to avoid completely turning this into a ref beatdown, it has to be said that Milan themselves failed to win games at home against the likes of Salernitana and kind of drops some silly points along the way. But at the same time, this run in the last month and a half or so has been phenomenal, and they've really managed to build and build ever since that last-minute Lazio win with Tonali scoring in the 92nd minute. And once the Inter dropped points against Genoa, it felt like the momentum was with Milan. I did say at the time that I thought both teams could well win all the games left in hand, and I was almost right in the sense that they won all the games except for Inter dropping points again in that game against Bologna, which was a surprise to many, but I think it's a testament to Serie A, and maybe we'll get onto it later, that sides like Bologna, etc., are battling throughout, even when perhaps there's nothing left to fight for.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Tonali's goal there. I think one of the kind of themes of Milan's season has been the kind of bursting onto the scene of the players that were, as you mentioned earlier, just, you know, bags of potential but weren't quite there yet. Theo Hernandez, I think, obviously last season already he was a bit of a beast, but Tonali, Leao, and then, of course, Mike Maignan being brought in this summer, and Tomori as well. I mean, who have been the kind of key difference makers for you?
So I think a lot of people who follow the league, myself included, felt that perhaps Milan's side wasn't as good as, say, Inter's or Juventus's even. But the players you've mentioned in particular grew and grew throughout the season, and it wouldn't be a far cry to say that they're now close to maybe not superstar status, but that star player status just below. And I think, unfortunately for Milan, but the likes of Leao and Theo will have a lot of suitors this summer, and it's up to the club to show ambition and hold on to these players. But the spirit that's being built and kind of Pioli's father-like approach to managing, I think, will make a lot of players happy to stay at Milan for a few years at least.
Yeah, and obviously Tomori as well, being finally recognised with that call-up to the England squad. Then, as far as I was reading today, it looks like he's going to be rewarded with a new contract. So hopefully that is a sign of what's to come, because it would be really great to see what this team could really do if they actually, you know, were part of a cycle, if they could kind of kick on from here for a couple of seasons at least before anyone kind of starts moving around.
And you mentioned Tomori there. I mean, his social media output in the past few days has been really genuinely fun, and it looks like he's literally very happy to he's not faking it. It's very real, the way he's showing emotion, the way he's showing pictures of the celebrations. You can tell he's really enjoying it. And I think we said it in the past, but the fact that he's picked up Italian very quickly, and the fact that he's really integrated well with the team, is a real testament to a guy who is happy to leave his home country and kind of show ambition. And you have to respect him for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And not just picked up Italian, but, you know, really impressively how quickly he's done it. I think we should probably speak about Inter, because I think even as a Milan fan, you know, you will say that we do have to give them a lot of credit. They did push Milan all the way, but that Bologna result that you mentioned ultimately decided their fate. The question I would have is, after that Bologna result, given how they were favorites really for the last sort of 3 or 4 months, how do they bounce back from this? How does Inzaghi pick them up from this?
I think that picking them up per se won't be a problem, because I feel that the team spirit in the Inter camp is very strong, and in any other season, they probably would have won this league. And you have to remember that right at the beginning of the season, both Napoli and Milan went on these crazy runs, and Inter were a little behind. They dropped some points early on, much like Juventus. But in contrast with Juventus, they kind of pulled the leaders back in and were leading for a few game weeks. So
yeah,
I think Inter's season overall is commendable, and winning 2 trophies along the way, if you count the Super Cup.
I think we have to.
Yeah, it's a minor trophy, but still, it's something that's great. But maybe a little bit more luck, a little bit, I'd say a little bit more luck. The Milanista in me has to say that there were a few questionable refereeing decisions in their favor in the season. But again, this is a podcast of celebrations, so let's not get into that.
Recriminations.
But I think that they pushed Milan all the way, and they did play some great football on the way. Inzaghi improved Conte's play, although probably wasn't as effective as Conte.
Yeah.
Ultimately, something that has to be said, and we have said it all through the season, is that the club that lost players, the likes of Lukaku and Hakimi, who were essentially star makers last season. Mm-hmm. And also Eriksen, who perhaps wasn't such a regular starter, but is still a fantastic player. Any club would suffer, but Inter kind of pulled through and relied on a fantastic midfield and some great defense. And ultimately, it wasn't their year, but I think if they look back on this, they'll be happy for what happened.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned those players that they lost last season or last summer. There are stories that they're going to lose one of Skriniar or Bastoni this summer, who presumably that is the sacrifice for them having to, you know, very publicly going to have to balance the books a little bit, even after the cash injection that they received earlier this year. Can they repeat this season where they kind of lost those key players but won the silverware, as you mentioned, the Coppa Italia, the Supercoppa, and almost won the Scudetto? Do you think, you alluded to the fact they had a bad start to the season, do you think if they hit the ground running, they've got another shot at this next year? Or do you think Milan are going to kick on and Juve will, eventually Juve are going to be back there at the top, aren't they?
I mean, a huge factor in answering this question will, of course, be the summer mercato. Inter, as you said, will probably have to sell a player or two to balance the books. And something that was quite impressive with them at the beginning of this season was that they kind of concluded a lot of their business very early on in the season, so that the new players were able to join their teammates and understand Inzaghi's tactics very early on. I'd like to think that, Inter are a very well-organized side, and I'd like to think they already have their targets for next season. And I think they've already signed Onana from Ajax as probably the first goalkeeper, because Andanovic, unfortunately, is getting on with the years. But I would say that Inter locked in for a top four spot, and then it really depends how they strengthen and, more importantly, who they lose.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. Right, we'll move on to speak about Roma now, because they've got the Conference League final on Wednesday against Feyenoord coming up. Aside from those defeats against Inter and Fiorentina, they've been very, very impressive from around mid-January onwards, Boaz. I think they kind of go into this with bags of confidence, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and I think this cup run in particular has really strengthened the bond between the players, the manager, and the fans. It's kind of revived the Italian interest in European competition, let's say. Sadly for us right now, the Champions League final and possibly even the Europa League final is a little bit far off. So to see a club make it to any final is nice. And Roma's attitude throughout this campaign, or rather Roma's attitude once they were out of the group stages in this campaign, has been very good. And you can tell that Mourinho has set this as a goal. I generally hope that they win. And again, there's some really likable players in that side. And
yeah,
it'll be nice to see a Italian team win a trophy.
Yeah, and given Tammy Abraham's contribution, I think am I right in thinking he's the first English player, certainly in a while, to score more than 20 goals in Serie A? It'd be nice to see him rewarded with some silverware, as well as numerous players in that team, Pellegrini as well, and, you know.
You speak of Abraham there, and I think a parallel can be drawn with Tomori, because he's also professed his love for Rome and the club, and he seems to have settled really well. And this is at a time when apparently Arsenal are interested in him, so
yeah.
We'll be interested to see if he's up for another season in the gorgeous capital, or if he wants to go back to the hustle and bustle of the Premier League.
Yeah, and let's hope for Serie A's sake that he is, because he has definitely been one of the stars this season. Talking about stars, not a stellar season in terms of their final placing. But yeah, if they were to win a European trophy, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but if they were to and qualify Europa League football, that would be a reasonable return.
I think it would be a realistic return considering the size and the depth of the Roma squad.
Yeah, okay. Right, let's turn to the bottom of the table, because Salernitana, who we, by all accounts, had written off earlier this season, Boaz, and I think we mentioned a few weeks ago that it could just happen, they could just pull it off. What do you know? A 7-game unbeaten run, including a win over Fiorentina and a draw with Atalanta, kind of ran out of steam to, at the end there. We won't mention the final result, but what an escape was.
Some managers, say Ancelotti, are European Cup specialists. Some managers, like Conte, are league specialists. And Davide Nicola is a salvezza specialist. He's done it over and over again. And I admit I was one of the doubters when he was brought in the winter. And when Milan dropped points against them at home, I thought it was a disgrace. And I think I'm on record on this pod as saying that that club's going down, and to lose points to them is ridiculous. To be fair, they did lose to Inter 5-0 like a week later or 2 weeks later. So I wasn't too far off. But that being said, they went on a crazy run of results in the last few days. And I mean, it probably would have been a little bit nicer to end the season with a win or even a draw, you know, instead of a 4-0 drubbing at home. But fortunately for them, results elsewhere went in their favor. And as we said, that crazy run of results where they got, I believe, they for the first time in their history, they won 3 Serie A games in a row or something like that. That was enough to take them over the line. Davide Nicola, who said that he would go by foot to the Vatican should they manage to stay in Serie A. So I'm not sure. Maybe when they went 4-0 down, he was thinking, well, at least I won't be doing that walk.
Yeah, well, Boaz, you're a bit of a marathon man yourself, or a half marathon man, I believe, this year, as it was. Would you fancy that pilgrimage to the Vatican?
I mean, providing...
Is it barefoot? Is that right?
I'm not sure. I mean, even if he was doing it in the best shoes ever,
It can't be barefoot. I must have just invented that.
It's quite a trek. He's, of course, got previous in these kind of things. He's done... he did a bike ride from to Turin at one point when he managed to avoid relegation there. So he's an expert in weird endurance events.
Yeah, apparently so. Right. Let's do what we're going to do this week, slightly different. We normally do a good week, bad week, but it seems a bit obsolete because obviously you would imagine Milan good week being champions and probably the...
You see this conspiracy every time there's supposed to be a Milan award, they take it away.
Well, we're going to do a quick fire good season, bad season instead. So I would imagine we've already spoken about Milan, Inter and Roma. And I think on balance, we probably have to say that between one tournament or another, whether it's the Europa Conference League or Serie A or Coppa Italia, all of those have had a good season. So there you have it, Buzz. Milan will, I would say, get a not just a good week, but a good season. Salernitana did what they had to, probably satisfactory season and certainly a good second half to the season. Let's talk about Napoli, because it almost feels like a wasted opportunity for them, given, you know, where they were a month or two before the end of the season. But they're back in the Champions League, and I think you have to say that represents success for them, given the preceding 3 seasons that they had, in one of which they didn't even qualify for Europe. I personally think Spalletti's done a great job of returning a sense of belief to the club, and you spoke about the spirit at Roma, and we've spoken about the spirit at Milan and Inter. I think you've really seen that at Napoli as well. And can I just say that it's great to have Spalletti back with his crazy antics as a protagonist in Serie A. Boaz, if you had to give Napoli good season, bad season?
I would say that with hindsight, it was a good season, but at times it felt like it could have been more. And in a season where Juventus kind of faltered and Inter ultimately didn't win, Napoli might be kicking themselves thinking that lowly Milan ended up winning the league. This is also the last season of Insigne, so yeah. Perhaps it could have been nice to see him off with some sort of trophy, but at the same time, Serie A is a very competitive league, especially at the top, and to finish third is no easy matter.
Yeah, a bittersweet season, perhaps.
As always, there's some wrangling between the coach and the owner. And
when is there not at Napoli?
Exactly. I believe Spalletti is going to stick around for at least another season, but it doesn't bode too well when the critique is coming in already before the end of the first season.
Yeah, and of course there was the players being sent into Ritiro again, but I was very critical of it. It actually seemed to do the job. They performed pretty well in the last few games. Juve, Napoli's historic rivals. Another year zero next season, Buzz. Another rebuild. Pogba and Angel Di Maria reportedly on their way in, although we'll see how much of that is paper talk, particularly with Pogba. I mean, Allegri might want to sugarcoat it, but it's been a disappointing season for Juve, really, hasn't it?
It's a disappointing season on many fronts. First of all, you have to look at the previous two seasons, and or rather the previous year incumbents in the job. Sarri lifted the trophy despite being quite disliked by the club and the club hierarchy. And Pirlo lifted two trophies, much like Inzaghi, and yet he was booed out of town. Now that we've seen the whole season with Allegri, the most striking difference for me is that at the very least, Pirlo's football was somewhat propositive and trying to be attractive.
Yeah.
Whereas
didn't always work.
Exactly. Whereas at times this season, Allegri's brand of football and I guess his idea of football has just been, I wouldn't say negative, but very flat, very boring.
Yeah. And if you're not winning and you're playing that sort of football, I mean, where's the enjoyment for the fans, I guess?
And we felt that the signing of Vlahovic might be some sort of...
he's destroyed him.
Yeah, it might have been a turning of the corner. And of course, Juventus did go on a mad run of, I think there was 14 victories in a row. But at no point during that run did it feel like they were playing champagne football or that they even had a clear idea of what they were trying to do. And Vlahovic looks like a very lonely figure right now up front.
He does. He looks deprived of service. And I mean, he did kind of hit the ground running, but just the joy just seemed to be sapped out of him, I guess.
I mean, the true test will be when Chiesa is back, because
yeah, of course,
Vlahovic and Chiesa know each other well from the Fiorentina days, but
sure.
Other than that, they very much complement each other. But I do feel that even with the signings of players that are allegedly going to come in, they really need an injection of quality. And I'm not sure that doing that rebuild will be as easy as people seem to think it will be.
Yeah, I agree. Juve, bad season, I think, in summary. Talking of Sarri there, you mentioned him in the Juve segment there. Lazio, that was Sarri's first season in charge. Tumultuous at times. Again, obviously, there was kind of disarray in the squad at moments. But I think, I mean, Europa League qualification at the end of it all, finishing above Roma. Verdict, Boaz?
I think if you'd given Sarri fifth place before the beginning of the season, he would have bitten your hand off. But as you said, it was kind of a bittersweet season. There was a derby loss, a derby win. There was a lot of strange results. And at no point did it feel like Lazio were really going on a run of games. That being said, Sarri's football does take a little bit of time to get imprinted on the players' minds, and possibly the transfers that came in didn't really suit his game. So I'd imagine that should Lazio want to push on, and that's a big question mark, but if they were to choose to push on, they would invest in players that are functional to Sarri's idea of football.
Yeah.
Anyways, to answer your question, a good season.
Yeah, good season. I think I'd agree with that. The next one, I don't think there's going to be much debate about. Fiorentina, 40 points last season, 62 this season. Your man Vinny Italian has them back in Europe for the first time since 2016-2017 season. It's got to be. I know they had that patch towards the end of the season where everything seemed to go a bit crazy. But I mean, great, great improvement, Buzz. Good season, Fiorentina, surely.
An improvement, particularly in the style of football. I hate to sound like a football purist, but that seems to be all I'm talking about right now. But last season, at times, Fiorentina's football was very defensive, very boring, didn't make best use of their players. This season, Italiano has come in with an idea of football that, yeah, at times you might get smashed 4-0, but at the same time, there's a lot of action for the fans and a lot of really interesting tactical ideas. So I'm definitely a big fan of Vinny Italian as a man, and I generally like Fiorentina per se, so I'm happy to see them do well.
Yeah, and given what happened with Gattuso at the start of the season as well, with that all kind of going awry, I think I certainly kind of felt like here we go again. But yeah, I think a good season. And yeah, like you, I'm a fan of Vincenzo Italiano as well. We're not going to go through every single team because I think that would take forever. We're not going to go through like in detail on every single team. But I mean, Atalanta just, I think is my summary of their season. It's not been great. I mean, yeah, what can you really say? I think in some ways they've kind of been found out, perhaps. In some ways, it's kind of really beginning to hit that lack of Papu Gomez, of Iličić as well, who's obviously for personal reasons been in and out of the team, and I think realistically is not the player that he was a couple of seasons ago. Yeah, to lose Gosens as well. So I don't think Atalanta have really replaced those players yet. I'm hoping that Gasperini's been given more time. There was talk, which I think is absolutely ludicrous, of him leaving in the summer, but it's been confirmed. Percassi confirmed that he's gonna stay on. So as someone who enjoys Atalanta, I very much hope that they'll be back higher up the table next season. I think we have to say bad season for Atalanta.
Definitely bad season, particularly given the high expectations and the fact that at one point they were supposedly the one club that were going to battle Inter for the championship. That being said, considering Atalanta's general history and their standing in the game, I think that finishing in the top half of the table is not too bad going, particularly after three seasons in the Champions League.
Yeah, I think historically speaking, good season, but given the last 5 years or so, bad season.
Been spoiled.
Yeah, and they're going to be. I think we had Richard Hughes, the former Atalanta Primavera player, on the podcast some time ago, and he was saying this isn't going to last forever. So, you know, a little bit of perspective. But yeah, I mean, it's the first time in quite a while they'll be without European football. So certainly disappointing.
Other clubs have benefited from having a whole week to prepare matches. So who knows?
That's
maybe
true.
Maybe that's all Gas needed, a little bit more time on the training ground with his men.
Perhaps, yeah. Although next season is going to be a very unusual one, obviously, because of the interruption for the World Cup.
The World Cup? I didn't realize.
Is that still happening?
Yeah.
Let's move on to Verona, Tudor's first year in charge. Modest improvement on last season. Don't think we need to say more than that, do we?
Lots of goals. Because,
yeah, I mean, fun. But they were fun last season as well.
Yeah.
Torino, I think, one of the other greatly improved sides. They went from 17th place, just kind of scraping safety, 37 points to 50 points and 10th place. Juric had that worrying rant about the project not having been what he was promised, I think, within about a week or two of taking on the role. But I think a good season in the end, solid improvement on last season where they just obviously escaped relegation. I'm not sure if you wanted to add anything to that, Boaz.
No.
Cool. And Sassuolo in 11th. Obviously, they're still a fun side, but they've not really reached the same heights as the De Zerbi side. I would say, again, like the Atalanta kind of summary, by historical standards, incredible season for Sassuolo. But given recent seasons, I would say bad season.
I have to say, I want to praise Udinese for their display against Salernitana, despite not really having much to play for. They went away and beat them 4-0. And I want to praise Venezia for their 0-0 battle against Cagliari, who needed just one goal to stay in Serie A. But then you look at the way Sassuolo went into that game against Milan, and to be honest, it looked like they were already on the beach, and maybe they had already been on the beach for a few weeks, because I seem to remember they lost the game 5-1 as well. So maybe not the best season by Sassuolo's recent standards, but still an entertaining team.
Yeah. And you mentioned Udinese there, so I mean, let's race through Udinese and Bologna, who kind of gives more of the same, really. Some big results, some upsets. The quote-unquote not an easy place to go, but ultimately inconsistent mid-table, not really much of an advance on recent seasons. Would you agree?
Yeah, just happy to be at the party, not looking to pick up anyone there.
Yeah. a meh season. Not a good season or a bad season, just meh.
Yeah.
Right. Empoli in 14th gave a really good account of themselves in the first half of the season, kind of disappeared with that spell where they didn't win a game from December until the April. I can't remember. But yeah, I think on balance, they've just come up. Good season. That the highest finishing side of the promoted sides. I'm gonna go good season for Empoli.
Good season.
Good season. And in contrast, Samp, they've gone backwards, Boaz.
Yeah, just really weird club. And if it wasn't for Genoa being so dire, I'd be much harsher on Samp. But I feel that particularly with them having a little bit of a pedigree and having won the league once, you'd think that they could push on and build a proper squad. But they're managed by a clown and they don't really have much of a... Sorry, they are. But they don't have...
And they used to be managed by the nicest man in the Italian football, Claudio Ranieri. Yeah. So,
but yeah, and he got a pretty average mid-table position, whereas Samp were almost battling relegation up until two match days ago. So definitely a step back and a shame.
Yeah, Spezia again. I think more of the same, but still a good achievement for a club of their size to stay upright.
It's a good achievement, but considering they've been bought by an American investment firm, you do expect them to push on. And this season, it was quite close. And they almost sacked the manager mid-season and then suddenly decided to stick to him. And I feel that the project is misunderstood. And if had they gone down, they could have ended up like a kind of Parma project. But they've stayed up another year. And maybe it's a good occasion to freshen up their ideas.
Yeah, yeah. Croutons as well, obviously. They did actually back-to-back relegations after this year as well. So right, let's talk about Cagliari, Genoa and Venezia then, the three relegated sides. I personally am absolutely gutted to see Venezia go. I feel like they've been a breath of fresh air to Serie A. I think I said this on previous pods, but just everything about them, the way they conducted themselves on social media, seeing the away fans traveling to the games on the boats, I think they're going to be a real miss to Serie A. But the writing was on the wall for a while, I think. The Salernitana, I mean, Empoli had that great start to the season. Salernitana had the run at the end. Venezia just kind of fizzled out and ultimately very disappointing season. Boaz, thoughts on Venezia? Thoughts on Genoa? Cagliari, obviously, they're, you know, not quite ever present in Serie A, but two Serie A teams, you would have to say, being relegated to Serie B.
For the past two seasons, Cagliari have started with a stutter, and whereas in the previous year they were able to pick up points later on in the season and maybe rely on the new manager bounce or something like that, but kind of pull through. This season they were just in the relegation zone or thereabouts throughout the whole season, and they got rid of two managers along the way, and there was the whole issue with Mazzarri, who was fired for insulting the president and insulting some of the players. And overall, it just doesn't look
And then like immediately great. Got a contract extension because it was in his...
No, so that they fired him so that he wouldn't get this contract extension clause. But ultimately, it just shows a club that is not quite sure what they're trying to do. And ultimately, they paid for it on the pitch.
Yeah.
Regarding Genoa, I mean, I've said this in the past, but they're kind of a nothing club. They don't do much. They're just there. And they, like,
one
Sampdoria,
of the great historical clubs of Italian.
So I was going to say, like Sampdoria, but more so, they have this pedigree, but they just can't seem to capitalize on their name. And even, I mean, the stadium is a little bit dated, but it's one of the great Italian places to go to. And yet this season, it's been manager after manager. And yes, Blessing did show some good ideas. And if you remember, he went on that crazy run of draws, but ultimately it just wasn't good enough. And
not quite record-breaking, but almost record-breaking run of draws.
And there was times during the season where you felt maybe this is the point where they pulled themselves out of this mess, but ultimately it was too little too late. And again, I wonder what a club like that will do in Serie B.
Who knows if they will bounce right back. Certainly doesn't look promising. Right. That's us pretty much gone through every, we have gone through every Saints Serie A.
I don't think we've ever mentioned every club
I don't think we have
in
done
one episode, so it's pretty good.
There you go. Quick mention for the sides who will be joining the 17 remaining Serie A clubs. Lecce and Cremonese, obviously promoted from Serie B, and the winner of Thursday's playoff game between Monza and Pisa. Monza, whose owner was seen celebrating the success of another club. Not sure how professional that is, but we'll just park that there and move on to the Azzurri, who take on Argentina in the Cup of Champions next Wednesday, the only international trophy, Boaz, taking place in 2022 that anybody really cares about.
Is that so?
Well, I speak for myself. I use the word anybody, but certainly speaking for myself there. Right. We have come to that point in the show where your theme tune introduces Keeping Up with the Italians.
So this is Keeping Up with the Italian Champions Edition. So I'm going to try and keep it to people who have won things or achieved things. Start over in Germany, where Domenico Tedesco, who only took over midway through the season, guided RB Leipzig to the Champions League spot. Elsewhere, Gianluca Azzorri celebrates winning the Maltese Cup with Floriana FC, and Stefano Sandera went one better and won the league with Hibernians. Speaking of cups, Cristiano Bergodi lifted the Romanian Cup with Sevspi OSK. Alberto Brignoli and Federico Maceda lifted the Greek Cup with Panathinaikos. My main man, Godberg Cooper, added the North Macedonian Cup to his already hefty trophy cabinet. And Pippo Falco and Cristiano Piccinini are now champions of Serbia with Red Star Belgrade. Self-proclaimed international football coach Vincenzo Alberto Anese won the I-League in India for the second consecutive year. What else have I got? Captain Marco Micheletti scored the fastest goal ever in the admittedly young history of the next MLS Pro. He scored after 9 seconds. And a certain keeper, Gianluigi Donnarumma, was awarded Ligue 1's best keeper of the year. Bizarrely, because I'm not sure he played all the games, but yeah. I guess that's, things will run differently in France, apparently.
Perfect. Thank you very much for that, Boaz. Right, it is time for, I think, this season's final honourable and dishonourable mentions. And I'm going to start off with a goals honourable for Matteo Politano for Napoli's first goal in that 3-0 away win to Spezia. Lovely solo effort, clinical finish to top it off. Really worth watching. And I feel like this should be a double this week because we didn't record last week. We have to give Theo Hernandez an honourable mention for his box-to-box solo run. And I can't remember who that was against.
Beep, beep. But...
yeah, against Atalanta, of course. Boaz, you've got an honourable mention for goals of sorts.
Yeah, I mean, long-time listeners of the pod will have been worried that I didn't mention Turkey once on this episode. So I'm here to swiftly remedy the situation.
We mentioned India, though.
Yeah. So Mario Balotelli scored a wonderful free kick versus Galatasaray in the Turkish League in a game that his side went on to lose. But then he did one better by scoring 5 goals in the last game of the season, including a delicious Rabona that made the rounds on social media. And of course, it's great to see Mario back in the limelight, albeit playing in a slightly lesser league.
Mm. And I think we have to mention the 20 stepovers that he did before that Rabona as well.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah. Beautiful. Right.
I mean, sorry, this is one of my catchphrases, and if we ever do t-shirts, this will be one of the t-shirts, but in a parallel universe, Mario Balotelli is going to lead Italy to the Qatar World Cup.
Yeah. Oh, the what World Cup?
Yeah, in the parallel universe where that is happening.
Do you mean the Cup of Champions? Or
also.
Right, I've got an honourable for Pioli. I mean, wonderful to see him lifting Serie A, but it's not an honourable for that. It's for in the final moments of that Milan victory over Sassuolo, he just decided to just let himself go and became a cheerleader for himself, leading the chants of Pioli's on fire to what has to be said was like a stadium that the Mapei was 80% full of Milan
Unreal.
Fans. But just a very, very enjoyable watching Pioli letting loose on the dance floor, leading those Pioli's on fire chants.
I also have to thank Padre Pioli, because the previous week in the game against Atalanta, the whole of San Siro was singing the Pioli's on fire song, and I uploaded the footage to Twitter and went quite viral. So it's nice to feel a little bit popular for a change.
Yeah, there you go. Your moment in the limelight, Buzz, and you're all to Stefano Pioli.
Yeah, Pioli's on fire.
Right. You've got an honorable for Ciro Immobile.
Yeah, Ciro Immobile is much maligned when he dons the Azzurri kit, but with Lazio, he's been unstoppable, and he's the first Italian ever to be capocannoniere in Serie A in four different seasons. And I think that's commendable in itself, but he's also been setting records for Lazio throughout the season. And in a season where, as we said, Lazio did pretty well, a lot of their points can and should be attributed to him and to his hard work.
Yeah, absolutely. Hear, hear. Right, I've got an honourable for Franck Ribéry for some video footage that emerged on social media and obviously made its way into the Italian papers as well. But he essentially nicked, it appears he nicked a kid's bike and then went on laps of the streets of Salerno after Salernitana stayed up, singing Pisciaiuolo Morirò, which is, Salernitano till I die. But just absolutely fantastic in amongst the cars on a kid's bicycle. Love
people just love walking around him like it's completely normal.
Yeah, well, I mean, some people taking their phones out to video it.
Yeah, but most people are just like, who's this grown man on a child bike?
It's great. It's classic. But as an honorable mention for Udinese's Simone Pafundi.
Yeah, Kenny, if you want to feel old, I will lead you to Simone Pafundi's transfer market or Wikipedia page, where you'll find out that the young lad was born in 2006 when Italy won their last World Cup. And Udinese threw him on in the last game of the season, making him, I believe, the youngest player ever to play in Serie A.
There you go.
As in the youngest player by date, not by age, I should add.
Oh, so the only player to have been born after Italy won the World Cup.
Yeah, that's a nice way to frame
that it. To this date has appeared in Serie A.
I like
that stat. Right, I've got an honourable for Paulo Dybala, and I really hope we see him in Serie A next season. I still think it's a tragic miscalculation by Juve to let him go, especially if they're talking about bringing in, with all due respect, Angel Di Maria to replace him. But for his tearful farewell to Juve fans after the 2-2 draw with Lazio, and let's we forget that Dybala was named Serie A Player of the Season a couple of years ago. Just a fantastic talent, and obviously didn't want to go. Very emotional for him, not so much for me, despite my ramblings just now. But yeah, just honourable mention for Paulo Dybala for all he's done for Serie A, and really hope to see him continue in the league, even if Boaz, in your worst nightmares, he ends up at Inter.
Hopefully not, but like you, I'm a big fan of Paulo Dybala, and I think there were a lot of misunderstandings in the negotiation with Juventus, and possibly his agent, who's not actually an agent, or some story like that, could have been a little bit better by negotiating the contract, but at the same time, essentially, Juventus pulled the deal off the table, so
feels like they pulled the plug.
I think he'll land on his feet, of course, but maybe he'll regret not signing the first offer that was placed on the table.
Perhaps. Here's hoping he doesn't. Boaz, we're finishing off the season with an honourable mention for the king, Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
What can you say about the player of Zlatan's quality? When he arrived a couple of seasons ago, he said that he was there to bring Milan back to the Scudetto, and a lot of people kind of laughed at him saying that, particularly given that Milan had really had some terrible seasons in the build-up. But Zlatan's sheer charisma can be, a lot of this league win can be attributed to Zlatan's sheer charisma, even though he didn't feature on the field too much. But this honorable is specifically to his rousing speech after the Scudetto win, where he spoke very eloquently, and he thanked every single member of staff, and he kind of encouraged the players and said that their hard work and their spirit brought them over the line. And then inexplicably, he toppled the table over like it was some WWE video.
Out of nowhere, with no warning.
Yeah, it was the most Latin thing ever. And I loved it.
It was great. It was fantastic. Yeah, I'm delighted that you've included that in your honorable mentions, because it was quite something.
And I mean, a slight aside is that when Zlatan was like, "Hey guys, I want to talk," the whole room went quiet and he's like, "Calm down, guys, I'm not retiring," which was also cracking me up. So yeah. Overall, great speech.
Encouraging to hear as well.
Great comic timing from him.
Yeah.
Comedic timing.
Absolutely. Perfect. Well, with that, we've come to the end of the season for Scudetto. So Boaz, I just want to thank you, first of all, for being here throughout. I want to thank Oscar as well.
For not being here throughout,
but for being here for a large chunk of the season. Thanks to all of our listeners, the guests that we have had on this season.
Allow me to go off script and just say Forza Milan for once on this podcast. But other than that, it's been a great season, and I do look forward to some of our plans for the next season.
Perfect. And what little remains of it. Enjoy the Champions League final. Enjoy the Cup of Champions. Enjoy the Serie B playoff. Enjoy the football. Che sta decretando lo scudetto del Milan in questo preciso istante. Finita! La Juventus è campione d'Italia questa data, il 6 maggio. Di anticipo, la Roma è campione d'Italia per la stagione 2000-2001. Il titolo del 2008, l'Inter è campione d'Italia, 16° scudetto della squadra. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.